Israeli forces raid the Aqaba Jaber refugee camp as part of an intensified crackdown against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Tensions flare up between the U.S. and China over balloons Washington says Beijing has sent into American airspace for spying. And Peru's political crisis deepens as Congress rejects another bill by the president to quell weeks-long unrest. Well, welcome to our studios in the capital, Tehran. This is news. Thanks for joining us. 13 Palestinians have been injured in the Aqaba Jaber camp in the occupied West Bank, where Israeli forces have surrounded a Palestinian home. The regime soldiers have reportedly stormed the camp with heavy machinery. Our correspondent from Ramallah, Mona Kandil, joined us earlier with more details.
For the sixth consecutive day, Israeli forces had been imposing a curfew or a closure on the Aqaba Jaber refugee camp in Ariha, because the Israelis claim that a Palestinian opened fire at an Israeli restaurant near a legal settlement built in Ariha. The Israelis claim that this Palestinian who opened fire is originally from Aqaba Jaber refugee camp. Every day, Israeli forces raid Aqaba Jaber and prevent Palestinians to move freely. But what's happening since the early hours of this morning is that Israeli forces raided Aqaba Jaber, surrounded a house there. They claim that the Palestinian who opened fire at a restaurant is from Aqaba Jaber, and they are ordering his father and brothers to hand their son to the Israeli forces. As we are receiving now, all the entrances of Ariha and the main roads leading to Ariha, not only Aqaba Jaber, are completely closed. Israeli forces are not allowing anyone to enter or to leave the area. Three Palestinians had been wounded during this operation. And it seems that the Israeli forces insist to arrest this Palestinian before leaving Aqaba Jaber and Ariha.
The situation has also been tense in the West Bank city of Nablus, where Israeli forces killed a Palestinian. They claim that the Palestinian man had attacked troops stationed at an outpost. That happened on Friday. The same day, Israeli forces injured dozens of Palestinians protesting against illegal settlements in the West Bank. They targeted Palestinians with live bullets and tear gas. So far this year, Israeli forces have killed 36 Palestinians in the occupied territories. Professor of Political Science Mohammed Abu Sara told us how Palestinians have been responding to Israel's brutal force across the occupied territories.
The result of that Israeli aggression against the Palestinian civilian people in the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem have resulted in the eruption and the beginning of a new Palestinian militant groups, especially in the area of Jenin and Nablus, where we, for the first time in 2022, have seen the rise of Palestinian armed resistance against Israel. We see a new group in the Jenin area, which is called Jenin Brigade, which is a group of Palestinian youth, mainly from Islamic Jihad and other Palestinian youth who are not affiliated with any Palestinian faction. The same thing can be said about the city of Nablus, where we have a new group called the Lion's Den in the old city of Nablus, who are mainly Palestinian youth dedicated to fight back to resist the Israeli occupation.
Iran has denounced the UN nuclear watchdog over its Wednesday report that has raised concerns over changes to equipment at a nuclear site. Iran's nuclear chief Mohammad Islami says the IAEA report is based on a mistake by an inspector during a visit to the Fordow plant. Tehran has written to the agency explaining the inspector's mistake, but the agency publicized the issue. The Iranian official criticized the agency's behavior as unprofessional and unacceptable. Islami has warned that such practices would harm IAEA's reputation. The U.S. and its European allies have issued a joint statement accusing Iran of being inconsistent with its obligations under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. They have found Tehran's response to the agency inadequate. Tehran says a comprehensive cooperation agreement between Iran and Venezuela is a turning point in relations between the two countries. Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian, who is visiting Caracas, made the remarks during a meeting with the Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Amir Abdollahian said that the implementation of bilateral deals with Caracas would boost ties further. Maduro, for his part, said the experience of the two countries in dealing with shared issues necessitates strengthening relations. Two sides also stressed the need to stand up against foreign pressure and to defend their national interests. Amir Abdollahian earlier held talks with Venezuela's vice president, among other top officials, and discussed ways to strengthen ties in different fields. We talked to political commentator Masoud Shajari about the Iranian foreign minister's visit to Caracas. He says the trip can be viewed as part of efforts to chip away at U.S. hegemony across the world.
For countries like Venezuela and Iran, who are both targets of arrogance of U.S. Hegemony, and sort of illegal, unlawful sanctions and pressures, why is it that they haven't really gone further in past? But it really is a breath of fresh air. The reality is that there is an illusion that has been created in the world that who is the international community? I mean, if you ask who is the international community, usually what they try to elude us all is a small handful of countries, including United States, Canada, Australia, Europe, all white European so-called elite, that they think that they represent the international community. And indeed, those countries need to come together to stop this illusion that the international community or this handful of Western nation under the hegemony of the United States.
China has accused U.S. media and politicians of using the recent balloon incident as a pretext to launch a smear campaign against Beijing. The Chinese Foreign Ministry issued a statement after the U.S. Secretary of State canceled a planned trip to the country over allegation that Beijing flew a spy balloon over the U.S. China had already expressed regret over the issue, blaming winds for pushing what it called a civilian airship into U.S. airspace. On Saturday, China further said that it never violated the territory and airspace of any sovereign nation. The ministry also emphasized the need for maintaining communication channels at all levels to deal with some unexpected situations. Antony Blinken issued a personal note to the Chinese counterpart after the discovery of the balloon over the U.S. state of Montana.
In my call today with Director Wang Yi, I made clear that the presence of this surveillance balloon in U.S. airspace is a clear violation of U.S. sovereignty and international law, that it's an irresponsible act, and that the PRC's decision to take this action on the eve of my planned visit is detrimental to the substantive discussions that we were prepared to have.
Blinken further said that the U.S. remains committed to diplomatic engagement with China and that he would make a trip to Beijing once conditions are favorable. Meanwhile, the Pentagon said it had spotted a second similar balloon flying over Latin America. Beijing had already denied the U.S. accusation of spying. It said the balloon was used for meteorological purposes and had unintentionally escaped into U.S. airspace. Manuel Pastrike is the president of Asia Institute. He says the U.S. is spending a large budget on creating unnecessary hostility with China.
Essentially, we have a system which is out of control. And now, sadly, this relatively tiny group of people within the military and the arms contractors are making policy for the entire country, feeding it to the politicians, and they have really no brakes on them. They're going, in the case of Ukraine, basically any weapon, except for nuclear weapons so far, although that might come soon, is being fed. In the case of China, a country, I think, as a whole, Chinese have a relatively positive view of the United States. Many Chinese have family in the United States. It was not a hostile relationship, but billions and billions of dollars are being poured into making it, hyping it up to be some sort of enemy. And Blinken's trip is totally logical. He should go very frequently, canceling it over this one minor matter out of, you know, thousands of similar ones, really shows us that the whole system is falling apart. The wheels are coming off of the cart.
Peru's Congress remains divided over President Dina Boluarte's bid to advance the general elections. Boluarte moved the proposal in an attempt to end the unrest that sparked after she assumed office about 2 months ago. Protesters keep demanding her resignation, in addition to early elections and constitutional reforms.
The political crisis deepens in Peru, where the legislative body has rejected President Dina Boluarte's bid to move elections to this year. Congress shelved the bill due to objections raised in a meeting of the Constitutional Committee on Friday. The matter is unlikely to be discussed before July, when Congress begins its new session. Lawmakers had previously agreed to move the date of the elections from 2026 to April 2024, but it could not calm the protesters. Boluarte thinks the reschedule of the voting to this year might help mitigate unrest and chaos. The South American country has been in the grip of unrest since early December. There have been frequent clashes between protesters and police in several cities, almost on a daily basis. Confrontations have resulted in dozens of deaths. Apart from early elections, Peruvian protesters also demand President Boluarte step down.
We are outraged by the injustice that is happening, by the police repression, by the deaths, by the lack of justice. Also because the people are demanding the resignation of the president.
However, Boluarte has defied the calls accusing those demanding her resignation of pursuing political blackmail.
My resignation is not at stake in this situation. There is a minority of the population, of these groups that are generating violence and chaos in the country, who are pushing for my resignation in a blackmailing manner. And we are not going to give in to this political blackmail.
The protests have also taken a heavy toll on the country's economy, with workers being hit hard. The unrest has negatively affected transport of goods and the operation at key mines, which are major sources of income for the Andean nation. The protesters around the country have blocked highways, causing shortages of food, fuel, and other essentials in several regions. Hundreds of trucks remain stranded at the border with Bolivia, awaiting the end of a strike called by the protesters.
We are suffering every day. There's nothing to eat. Look how the roads are. You can't even walk. No motorcycle, no car, nothing. Dina Boluarte's government do not pay attention to what the people are demanding. What more do they want? How many more deaths?
Peru's unrest has been propelled mainly by indigenous people from the south. That's where ousted President Pedro Castillo comes from. He was removed from office and arrested in early December as he was attempting to shatter Congress to stave off his impeachment. The demonstrators demand his release because they regard Castillo as the one who can fight poverty and inequality. It seems that the fundamental problems driving the unrest will not go away, as the protesters are not only angry over stark inequality, but they feel neglected by state institutions, especially Congress, which many Peruvians say are being run by corrupt lobbies and vested interests.
An increasing number of Italians are feeling the crunch of inflation and raising interest rates. But the misery does not end there, as the prospect of a bleak future also looms large. Our correspondent Max Civelli has this report from Rome.
The recent decision by the European Central Bank to raise interest rates by a further 0.5% has thrown Italian families and small and medium entrepreneurs into the depths of gloom. Prices in Italy rose 8.1% year-on-year in 2022, hitting a 37-year high. Now, Italians see themselves stuck between a rock and a hard place. The country's inflation rate had shot up to around 12% in the months between October and December, a trend also seen across Europe. This is due to soaring energy and food prices linked primarily to the conflict in Ukraine and the related rearmament spending that all members of the bloc are engaged in. but it's also caused by the governments having thrown support packages worth hundreds of billions of euros at the corporations and the rich over the past years.
High inflation, soaring energy bills are biting hard. In addition to that, our average salaries have not kept up pace, and they have not gone up for years. It's really worrying.
Quite simply, I went to buy food at the supermarket last week, and this I usually buy for 30 euros, costs me about 50 euros instead.
Although inflation rates have recorded a clear abatement across Europe, Italy is still dealing with two-digit inflation, which stands at over 10%. The European Central Bank's latest rate hike has brought to 3% the total of interest rate increases over the past 6 months. The EU's governing council is expected to raise them further next month.
These moves by the ECB adopted to slow inflation don't seem to have worked very much so far. The problems affecting our economy seem to be rather structural, and this situation has led citizens and businesses to lose confidence in a real recovery.
According to a survey of some 27,000 citizens commissioned by the European Parliament, more than 9 out of 10 of Europeans are very concerned about the rising cost of living. 40% of the people living in the EU feel they are already struggling to pay for food and other basics, and almost one in two says the standard of living has fallen. But more worryingly, they are not holding out much hope for the future either, as another 39% expect the standard of living to fall this year. Max Civili, Rome.
And with that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
Congratulations to everyone on the occasion of 13th of Rajab, the birthday anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful and the Leader of the Pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Here in the Islamic Republic of Iran, it is also Father's Day. We congratulate all Muslims on this auspicious occasion.
Imam Ali, peace upon him, the multidimensional genius. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and heartiest felicitations to you all on one of the most blessed days of the year. Today is the 13th of Rajab, on which God Almighty's symbolic house in Mecca, the Holy Kaaba, came alive. It is the day when the most sanctified place on planet Earth became the site of birth of a person who was God's most exalted creation after Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him, and his progeny. To be more precise, today we are celebrating the birthday of the Commander of the Faithful, the leader of the pious, the symbol of justice, the epitome of valor, the model of magnanimity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, the divinely designated vicegerent of the Seal of Messengers. Please stay with us for an exclusive program in this regard. Allah collected from hard, soft, sweet and sour earth, clay which he dripped in water till it got pure, and kneaded it with moisture till it became gluey. From it he carved an image with curves, joints, limbs and segments. He solidified it until it dried up for a fixed time and a known duration. Then he blew into it out of his spirit, whereupon it took the pattern of a human being with mind that governs him, intelligence which he makes use of, limbs that serve him, organs that change his position, sagacity that differentiates between truth and untruth, tastes and smells, colors and species. He is a mixture of clays of different colors, cohesive materials, divergent contradictories, and differing properties like heat, cold, softness, and hardness, grief, and joy. What you heard is a vividly detailed description of the finest form of creation by God Almighty, that is, Adam, the father of the human race. Yet, this is not a passage from God's final revelation, the Noble Quran, or from any other previously revealed heavenly scripture. Then, whose words are these that draw for us the perfect picture of the creation of Adam by the one and only Creator? A good question indeed, since we are on the threshold of the 13th of Rajab, the day on which was born in the holy Kaaba built by Adam when he was sent on earth, one of the greatest sons of Adam. After recounting how Iblis, the genie, was cast out as Satan from the assembly of the angels for disobeying God's command to prostrate to Adam, the person who has given such a remarkable description of the first man's creation and the purpose of creation informs us in one of his famous sermons in the book Nahjul Balagha. Therefore, Allah made Adam dwell in a house where he made his life pleasant and his stay safe, and he cautioned him of Iblis and his enmity. Then his enemy, Iblis, envied his abiding in paradise. So he changed his conviction into wavering and determination into weakness. He thus covered his happiness into fear and his prestige into shame. Then Allah offered to Adam the chance to repent, taught him words of his mercy, promised him return to his paradise, and sent him down to the place of trial and procreation of progeny. The passages that we recited to you are self-explanatory, and they inform us of the choosing of prophets from the progeny of Adam for the guidance of human societies towards God, truth, salvation, and paradise. As the peerless person whose birth anniversary we are celebrating today says, Allah never allowed his creation to remain without a prophet, deputized by him, or a book sent down from him, or a binding argument. In this way, ages passed by and times rolled on till Allah deputized Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as his last prophet in fulfillment of his promise. We are then told that the Prophet of Islam, while departing from the mortal world, left behind God's final revelation, the Noble Quran, along with his Immaculate Ahl al-Bayt, as beacons of guidance for human societies, and popularly known as the Thaqalain, or the two priceless things. The identity and name of the person who enlightens our minds with such a vast ocean of facts should now be clear to us, because no one else was born in the Holy Kaaba except Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, the first cousin, ward, son-in-law, and divinely designated vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He was indeed the prime source for the mission of the Seal of Messengers, as well as the accounts of the prophets of the past, including the reasons for the casting out of Iblis as Satan and Adam's error that brought him down to earth. Then how come he so vividly describes Adam's creation from different forms of clay, to the amazement of scholars and scientists alike, as if he was an eyewitness to the whole process of evolution? It is here that the famous hadith of the Prophet of Islam comes to our rescue, when he says, I was the prophet when Adam was in the state of water and clay. The prophet also has said, I and Ali are created of the same light. Another hadith says God created the light of Imam Ali, peace upon him, thousands of cosmic years before Adam's creation. Now, it should be clear that Prophet Muhammad and Imam Ali, peace upon them, were not ordinary humans, although they were descendants of Adam. They were, in fact, beings of celestial light that God Almighty created before creating the universe. Here, it will be repetitive to go into details of the miraculous parting of the walls of the Kaaba and their closing moments later on, the 13th of Rajab, to allow Fatima bint Asad, peace upon her, of the monotheist Hashemite clan to enter its hallowed precincts, as she implored the Lord Most High to ease her pangs of delivery. The Arab pagans, who had polluted the primordial house of monotheism with idols, were flabbergasted. They tried to break the door with crowbars, but the locks and the wooden beams held steadfast. 3 days later, the Arab idolaters were again stupefied when the same miracle occurred at the Kaaba as its walls parted and closed to allow Fatima bint Asad, peace upon her, to step out with a radiant boy in her arms. To the further bewilderment of the heathen Arabs, a calm and unperturbed Abu Talib stood at hand to smilingly greet his virtuous wife. Along with him was his nephew, the son of Abdullah, his deceased brother, who gently stepped forward to take into his arms his infant cousin. It was then that the baby boy opened his eyes. As the eyes of the two cousins caught each other, there were smiles of acquaintance on both the faces, as if the two were meeting after a period of separation. The sight was indeed dazzling, as light mirrored light. The infant moved his lips and seemed to be expressing voiceless words when the elder cousin whispered something in his tender ears. Here is a famous saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O Ali, Allah has created me and you from his light. He created Adam and put that light into Adam. This light reached Abdul Muttalib and then it split. Thus, I was in Abdullah and you were in Abu Talib. Nubuwa, that is prophethood, does not befit anyone other than me, while velayat, that is the office of the vicegerent, does not befit anyone other than you. Whoever denies your vicegerency denies my prophethood. And whoever denies my prophethood, Allah will throw him down on his nose into the fire. These words are ample proof of the peerless position of Imam Ali, peace upon him. No wonder the Prophet had said, I and Ali are the fathers of this Ummah. This does not mean biological fathers, but it means spiritual fathers, since without faith in these two enlightened personalities, a person is neither a Muslim nor the one who has completely submitted to God, let alone considered a mu'min or the one who has attained true and perfect belief. This is the reason the Islamic Republic of Iran every year celebrates the birthday of Imam Ali, peace upon him, as Father's Day, in order to make its citizens better fathers for the proper grooming of children as per the guidelines of the Prophet and the infallible Imams. A brief radio program cannot properly describe the multidimensional personality of Imam Ali, peace upon him, the person who transcends history and historical developments. He embodied all such excellent qualities as piety, patience, prudence, bravery, generosity, magnanimity, modesty, wisdom, knowledge, justice, insight, eloquence of speech, etc., to the extent that humanity will forever remain indebted to him. No wonder the Prophet has said, whoever wants to see Adam in his knowledge, Noah in his resolve, Abraham in his prudence, Moses in his awe, and Jesus in his piety, should look at Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. The late Christian scholar of Lebanon, George Jordagh, has written a series of excellent books on Imam Ali, peace upon him, calling him the voice of human justice. After discussing in detail the thoughts and teachings of the Greek scholars, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, George Jordagh has focused upon the dynamics taught to humanity by Imam Ali, peace upon him, and hailed him as the greatest of them all. This Christian writer has written a separate book on the French Revolution in which he says, "What Imam Ali, peace upon him, taught to mankind over a millennium ago is more elaborate and humanitarian than the libraries and civil rights that emerged in Europe and the West. Imam Ali, peace upon him, formulated such firm rules and presented such solid views for the rights of the human beings and the welfare of the human society that their roots penetrate the depth of the earth while their branches extend up to the sky. All the social sciences prevalent at present mostly confirm these views and principles. Although these modern social sciences may be given many times and may be presented in various forms, their object is one. It means the human being should be protected from oppression and there should be formed a society which should protect human rights in a better way, a society in which human dignity should be respected and the freedom of world and action should be safe to such an extent that none is hurt." Imam Ali, peace upon him, had clearly understood that it will be very dangerous to divide the people into two classes and to prefer one of them to another. This will retard the intellects, create malice in the spirits, and introduce oppression and injustice in the judgments and transactions, and all sorts of mischiefs and corruptions will appear. The result will be that ambition for life will die and the people will become pessimistic and entertain ill will towards one another. Consequently, ruin will descend on the society. So long as the two classes exist in a society, a conflict between them is inevitable and it will involve the loss of many lives. We once again congratulate our listeners on the birthday of the person who, when he once saw an old Christian begging on the streets, had pension fixed for him from the public treasury after chiding officials for leaving a non-Muslim destitute after he had worked all his life. Before we bid goodbye, here is a wonderful saying from Imam Ali, peace upon him, that shows his absolute cognizance of God. "By Allah, even if I am given all the domains of the seven climes with all that exists under the skies, in order that I may disobey Allah to the extent of snatching one grain of barley from an ant, I would not do it. For me, your world is lighter than the leaf in the mouth of a locust that is chewing it. What has Ali to do with bounties that will pass away and pleasures that will not last? We do seek protection of Allah from the slip of wisdom and the evils of mistakes, and from Him we seek succor."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human traits in the Quran, and specifically we're looking at the ones that are destructive. Destructive in the sense that a person ends up harming himself in this world and in the hereafter, and also harming other people by invading their human rights and taking it altogether. We've mentioned a few in the previous episodes. There's one more we want to look at today. And that stems from the hadith where Imam al-Sadiq says the roots of kufr, usul al-kufr thalath, three are the roots of kufr. One of them was al-hirs, and one of them was hasad, and today we want to talk about at-takabbur, pride. When a person thinks of himself as better than other people, or wanting to be better than other people, and that is one of the causes to the misery of a human beings around earth. And until today, mind you, this notion of takabbur and istikbar, now we are actually giving it to countries. We say that mutakabbirin or mustakbirin fil ard. Is that they put themselves in a position where they are God's chosen and everyone else is a third world country. And for that, they give themselves the rights to invade, to kill, to, you know, occupy lands of the people who are weaker than them. This is istikbar on the higher level, on a global level, when you see countries who think they are better than the rest taking over everything and destroying the essence of humanity. And this topic, if I open the doors to it, we won't finish for another 24 hours. So let's close that door. We are talking about the trait itself that begins from within the human himself. Of him thinking that he is much bigger and much better than everyone else. And takabbur has levels. So this pride has levels. And depending on the level that a person is at, the destruction that follows is similar or equal to that position. The first level is at-takabbur ala Allah, where a person has pride even above Allah and on Allah himself. And that is the worst, where a person says things, who is Allah? I am better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you might ask, does anyone even dare to say this? Yeah, a lot of people dare. Take Fir'aun, for example. He said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. He did not deny the existence of other gods. He said, no, you have other gods. But I am the greatest. I am the biggest. I am the proudest. I am the only god. The other ones are just small, but I am the main god. And then he says to them, Ma alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri. I know no one better than me for you. And this notion, mind you, Ma alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri, there is no one better than me. I don't know of anyone better than me. The same applies to governments, where a country comes along, like, for example, the US, and they say, you know what? I know better than everyone else. If you guys want to have anything, come to me. Don't go anywhere else. You're not allowed to go to anywhere else. It's exactly Fir'aun in the Quran manifests in the Constitution of the United States of America. America is a manifestation of Fir'aun in the Quran, word for word, verse for verse. But I don't have time to explain. So sometimes when a person says, I am Lord, then he will create havoc on earth. And you see what Fir'aun did? And the people who are like Fir'aun, but they don't say what Fir'aun says, but they acted. Let us take a short break, and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. Before the break, we were saying that some people, they might not say we are like Fir'aun. They might not say, I am you, Lord. But definitely in themselves, in their actions, subconsciously, it is. So sometimes I don't need to say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I am your greatest Lord. But I act like one. When I go to my family with my wife and my kids, I act in a way where I see them being insignificant. And I yell and shout and hit and do whatever I want. That's the exact same thing as saying, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. When I'm a boss, I do this to my employees, the same concept applies. When I'm a leader of a country and I oppress the people under my power, then I am saying, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Meaning that I have authority, I can do whatever I want, and you guys can't do anything about that. This is takabbur of the highest form. So even if you look at the presidents and the tyrants, they're like, no, we would never dare say we are higher and bigger than God. But their actions speak louder than words. So this is the first level of takabbur, of pride, that a person might have that would create the most devastating damage on the ground, is when he thinks and acts as he's above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God forbid. The second one, which stems from the first one, the second level, is at-takabbur ala awamir Allah ta'ala, where Allah has given orders, and I say, no, God, I love you, I respect you, but yeah, when it comes to these orders, I will manipulate my way through them. I won't submit to them. Then that's a problem. Because he has too much pride, and Allah says, you have to give to the poor. You have to give taxes, khums, zakah. And the person says, why should I? It's my money. This is what Qarun said. Innama atitu ala almin min indi. It was all my work. It was all my money. Why should I pay it to other people? And this is exactly what we do as well sometimes. When Allah says, give charity, give khums, give zakat, what do we say? Why should I? Why should I help other people? It's mine. Who says they are deserving of it? So I am not defying Allah per se by saying, oh Allah, I am higher and bigger than you, but I'm defying His laws. When we defy the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we do takabbur and pride over the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then corruption follows. Then we start becoming corrupted ourselves, and we corrupt the society around us. So this is linked to one another. The third one is also when we do takabbur on the prophets and the a'imma alayhim as-salam, when they have given us straight instructions that we need to follow, but yet we don't. So sometimes, like even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, at the time of the Imam, there was direct disobedience to the Prophet, where the Prophet says, this person, for example, should be your Khalifa, your leader. So people said, he's only young, we won't even listen to him. Osama ibn Zayd, for example, the Prophet said, he's the leader of the army. They said, no, he's too young. We're not going to listen to him. This is takabbur on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So either we do it in person or we defy their sayings. This is also a form of pride. Inshallah, we will continue this discussion in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
And every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted about Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is a hadith which Imam Ali alayhi salam himself mentioned. As you know, this is the birthday of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and it's also Father's Day, and we also know that this is the days in which the i'tikaf commences, you know, the 3 days in which people stay in the mosque and fast and worship Allah. Because of this, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners on this most auspicious day. You know, we don't need to remind our listeners that, you know, the birthday of Imam Ali alayhi salam is one of those miraculous events in the history of Islam. As you know, the mother of Imam Ali alayhi salam, at this time she was performing the pilgrimage. When the pangs of birth, she experienced them, you know, the walls of the Kaaba, they opened up and she entered it, stayed there for a number of days, and then when she exited it, she came, you know, bearing the noble Imam in her arms, and you know, and so this is a very happy day, especially for all of the lovers of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the lovers of knowledge, because we know that one of Imam Ali's alayhi salam's his virtues was his the extremity and the immensity of his knowledge about everything, about God, about the universe. And one of the hadiths in which he mentions his own knowledge is the following hadith in which he says the following. This is a hadith is a part of a sermon which he gave after having been pledged allegiance to as the caliph, meaning after people paid allegiance to him as the caliph. He said, "O people, ask me before you lose me. Ask me, for I have the knowledge of the past and the future. By Allah, if I was to set up to judge, I would certainly judge for the people of the Torah with their Torah itself." He then said, "Ask me before you lose me. By He who split the seed and originated man, were you to ask me about each and every verse of the Quran, I would inform you when the verse was revealed and the reason for its revelation." And Imam Ali alayhi salam also said, "I am fused with a hidden knowledge such that were I to disclose it, you would be shaking like ropes hanging from a bucket in a deep well." So, and also there's a famous hadith in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reported to have said, "I am the city of knowledge, ana madinatul ilm, and Ali is its gate, wa aliyun babuha. If somebody desires to enter this city, it's necessary for him to enter that city from its door," meaning from, via Imam Ali alayhi salam. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at Imam Ali's knowledge in his own words. Once again, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners on this most auspicious day. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
This one lay. Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.